Hey everyone, and welcome. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, put on that Ninja Turtle onesie, warm up those chimichangas. Ladies and gentlemen, this is PopX Cast.
PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. In the growing movement of comic-themed media, like video games, movies, television shows, one thing is for certain, comic books are here to stay. And so are we. We are excited about geeky things. Just look around. We've come to one conclusion, that even though our broadcasts are fun, engaging, informative, they solely can't be funded on advertising alone. That's where you come in. So PopX needs support, and you are that support. At least we hope so. To date, about 60% of our budget has came from generous donations and out-of-pocket expenses, just to keep our production on the level that it needs to be. Without crowdfunding and assistance from you guys, PopX would totally be doomed and pretty much circling into a viral vortex of circular doom and catastrophe as we know it. Not cool. We want to keep our content free and flowing for the whole world to enjoy. In order to keep these dreams alive, ultimately someone has to pay. Not everyone, but hopefully a select few. For details on how to get started, please check out our list of campaigns and rewards over on the left-hand side. And in the words of Mr. Stan Lee, Excelsior! You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Are live here on PopX Cast. This is episode 21 coming to you live today right here on PopXCast.com. And it's June 26th, and we want to thank you guys so much for joining on this day. It has been an interesting day, to say the least. Now, I want to say, if you look over here to the right of me, this is not Austin Burke yet again. God bless his soul. All right, so I have to take a moment, and I kind of have to bust his chops just a little bit. All right, so Austin, I love you. You know this is just bromance, bro love coming at you. God love his heart. He gets one of his former teacher's friend to let him into his former high school. He sets up this amazing screen, sets up his Blue Yeti microphone that he's borrowing from the school, a mixer, an iMac. He's got the whole shebang ready to go. He gets on the internet and he types in appear.in, which is where we broadcast from our live stream. And guess what? It doesn't load. Dun, dun, dun. I'm telling you what, right now, he's about ready to, he said he was going to go steal some Coke cans, paint some houses, and cause some chaos in Pikeville, Kentucky tonight. So I can only think about it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
But anyway, I digress. So that's Joeism number one. So if you're looking down here below, we have Adam from Homeworld Arts. He is joining us right here. Adam, he's going to be hanging out through the news segment with us, which is different, but that's cool. We'll roll with it.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Glad you're here. Glad you're hanging with, and glad you got your internet. Everything's going good on your end. This is awesome. But hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. And I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. And right over here, we got the one and only Miss Lindsay Badger. What's up, Badges?
Hello. Hey.
Yeah.
I get to hang out the whole hour with you guys this week.
I'm telling you, right?
It's going to be great. I'm excited.
So you know, you're not the Appalachian geek at heart. So what are you?
I am not. I think I would be the Midwestern Oaky geek at heart.
I like it.
What do you think?
We'll roll with that.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll roll with that. So last week we did the comic book Rise of Comics and Pop Culture History Lesson Part 2, which was the Jewish influence. Now, if you guys missed that, it's a really good educational resource into some big names like Bob Kane, Stan Lee, just to say a few. But if you missed it, head over to iTunes and Google Play, click on that subscribe button, and be sure to catch up. And while you're there, be sure to leave us a beautiful, glowing, radiant 5-star rating and review. We would certainly appreciate it. Mike is on fleek with the graphics tonight.
Yes, oh my goodness. I'm loving it.
All right, you ready to go into some PopX news?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
All right, so Gotham this week gets a really cool character upgrade. So we are now advancing into the more of the mature characters for the villains of Gotham, and a new Poison Ivy has been cast, and she is none other than Maggie Gia. So
love it. I love Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy's awesome, and so far Poison Ivy and Cat, who is Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Has been more of childlike roles. So
right.
This is the first time we've seen...
Up.
Exactly. This is the first time we've seen childlike Poison Ivy move into more of a mature role. And from what we've been teased in season 3, that there is some sort of event or some sort of tragedy or something that happens, and this is how she comes out, a mature, older Ivy. So, I don't know. Lindsay, are you caught up on Gotham?
I am a couple episodes behind, but I have been keeping up with Gotham. It's probably one of my favorite series out there right now. But
it's really cool.
So good. It really is. My husband and I really enjoy watching it together. It's really great.
Now, Adam, have you had a chance to see Gotham?
I have not. No.
You have not? It's all good, man. We're not going to hold that against you.
I don't know.
He's a man of few words, but wait, we'll be talking to him here in just a minute. Also, this is really cool, and everybody knows her from the old Wonder Woman from, I don't want to say old, that's kind of disrespectful, from the former role of Wonder Woman back in the day, Miss Linda Carter.
Yeah, I can't call her old.
I can't,
she's
I don't
hot.
Want to, that's so disrespectful. Linda Carter, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
She's still a good-looking woman, you know?
She's got it, and she officially joins the cast of Supergirl, and she will be going from Wonder Woman to president, so.
Look at that.
What an amazing role. DC Universe all the way. That's pretty cool. Also, Arrow Season 5 will feature a very familiar face as we see a female archer coming on board with Artemis. So that's going to be really cool to see her come back. And we've actually seen her previously. Remember her?
Yeah, she was in the last season.
She was the Black Canary that went rogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she stole the costume from the hospital. Yeah.
Exactly. So she stole the costume when Black Canary did die and all of that. So it's going to be cool to see her come back into more of a heroic role as Artemis. Also, Lindsay, what do we got? What else we got here?
Grant Gustin reveals the title for the Flash season 3 premiere at Flashpoint.
Ooh, Flashpoint. Now, for you DC nerds out there, or comic book enthusiasts, or anybody that's read any kind of comic in the past 10 years, you know that Flashpoint is kind of the dividing line. It's kind of like AD versus BC in the DC world. It is the point in which everything starts from. And so they're setting up that episode with season 3 of The Flash, excuse me. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how they do that transition and just... really how they basically if all right so we got a spoiler alert hold on
oh wait
oh wait
you were about about to enter a Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
So you've heard it. So we got a spoiler alert coming your way.
Watch out.
I know. So if you've caught the season finale of Flash, you know that Barry Allen went back in time and prevented his mother's death.
Yes.
Which basically changes the entire timeline of everything that we know from season one to season two.
Everything just starts over.
Just basically, yeah. It's just like you just hit the restart button. Yeah, no, it's weird, right? So that's basically what happens with Flashpoint. And there's a lot of weird things that happens with Flashpoint because the Arrow dynamic. I don't know if they're going to continue on with the current saga of Arrow, but in DC, everything kind of, the whole structure, Batman was different. Green Arrow
everything.
Was different. Yeah.
Supergirl too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody.
And Legends of Tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
All those shows are going to be affected by what happens
pretty
next
much.
Flash.
It'd be interesting to see how that all transpires, I think. But
I'll be very interested. Flash is probably my favorite series of the CW group now. So I'll be excited.
I know that Mike, who is sitting over here to my left, just doing awesome. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike is in the house tonight. Literally. Oh, snap. But anyway, we got also next up, we got Bryan Cranston. Now, you may know that actor from the Breaking Bad series.
Yes.
Oh, look at this.
Yes, it's so awesome that they picked him.
Yeah, I know. He's going to be playing Zordon in the Power Rangers movie. So,
Walter White himself.
I don't know. Is he going to, like, say my name? You're Zordon.
I actually saw a really funny YouTube video made up earlier. I'll have to share it with you. But, it's basically old school 90s talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pulled like a clip from Breaking Bad and he's talking back to them. And it was like, I can't even remember exactly what it was that it said, but it was basically like, I'm a badass and you should just listen to me because I'm the boss. And then it clips over to Alpha, the robot. Do you remember Alpha?
I do remember. Oh, Alpha. Oh my God.
And then
that was
thing. Yeah. Yeah. And then, he says some kind of quippy thing and that was the end of it. But it made me giggle. And I'm very excited about, him being playing that role.
So would that be a nerd giggle?
I think so.
I think so too. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. You heard that first. You're on.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I'm excited about this next one coming up.
Yeah, go
Joe.
For it.
Deadpool 2 is begin filming in early 2017.
I know. We just literally
got
off the cusp of Deadpool 1 back in February, which literally pretty much launched 2016 into the Marvel comic. The whole franchise launching not only just Marvel, but DC and the whole comic genre movies for 2016. Deadpool was right at the front of that in February. And now we've already heard that early 2017, February, March 2017, they will begin filming on Deadpool 2. Not only that, it gets even better. We got Thor Ragnarok going to be starting production this July 4th in just like a week. No joke. We'll be filming Thor 3 throughout the remainder of 2016, all the way up through the end of the holidays. And they'll be filming it in the land down under.
Man, I'm excited about that. I like some Thor. It's time to get him back in his own movie.
And it is cool.
Carry
and
on that storyline.
We know that the Incredible Hulk is going to be a part of that as well, and he's going to be included in that story, so that's going to be nice to see the big green guy back, as well as a lot of other casts of weird characters that we've been seeing kind of coming through the roles of, Jeff Goldblum is going to be playing the master guy.
That's right.
Yeah, there's some really interesting casting roles for that one. So I'm really excited to see that one. So what do we got about Indiana Jones this week, Lindsay? What is that?
Indiana Jones 5 will not be the last movie.
Really?
Disney's Bob Iger, and just a note from Disney that Harrison Ford will not be killed off in the franchise at any time soon. So that means we could have many more Indiana Jones to come.
And I think when Disney's Bob Iger has literally been getting hounded the past couple of months because the rumors about Indy 5 has been coming out and everybody's like, oh, well, you're going to kill him off and Chris Pratt or somebody's going to take him over, you know. And Bob Iger basically said, no, We he's have like, nope. no plans for Harrison Ford's character. Indy's going to be around for a long time, so
he's going to be dodging boulders for many years to come.
In so a wheelchair, just, nonetheless.
More than likely, in a little walker, he'll be chasing away, running away from those snakes. You know,
he'll be whistling the Indiana song. Anyway, now Lindsay, you brought this one to us this past week about the Vans shoes. Now, what is new about this?
I'm so excited about this. I stumbled upon this on my Facebook feed, and Vans and Nintendo teamed up to come up with a whole brand new collection of retro Nintendo designs that include all the old school favorites from the NES, like Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Princess Peach, Yoshi, and even some of the console designs as well. And all of these shoes on the bottom of the soles have Game Over on the bottom, which are really
serious.
Game Over on the bottom. Man. And then all the shoes come in, the box is designed like the old school NES system. It is the coolest thing ever. And they have more than shoes. They have backpacks and shirts and socks and all kinds of other stuff. But I'm like, I just sign me up.
Yeah.
I want one of everything.
Yeah.
And they have kid sizes too. So you can have your whole family dressed up in throwback stuff.
That is really cool. I know that they did, a couple years ago, they did a Marvel line as well. There was Incredible Hulk Vans out. And I was like, I'm more of a Nike guy myself. But, I mean, you know, we don't really need to know about brands.
You know,
and
I don't judge. Whenever there's anything that has Zelda on it, I want it.
Like, yeah,
it doesn't matter what brand it is. So, I mean, I'm a Zelda nerd. Can't help it.
Well,
but anyway, so
we got some really cool things happen this week on social media, and I'm going to take the first one, and then Badge is going to take the last one there on the we'll get into it.
We're going to get there. We've got
check
lots of fun things going on.
PopX this week has launched officially our Patreon account, and this is going to be this is huge for us, because a lot of the stuff up until now, 60% of what we do here at PopX has either been funded by us as podcasters or out of pocket, or by donations from people that really support and see what we're doing here. So we've set up a Patreon account to help us facilitate some of the overhead costs. It costs money to have a podcast every month. It's about $10 a month. And on top of that too, there is also some streaming costs, and there's a lot of like software. I mean, if you was to see my table here, it just looks like the, you know, DEFCON 4 Central. I mean, it's just like dual monitors, mixer here, mission control, mission command, whatever you want to call it. But to help us generate some funding, we set up a Patreon account, and it's patreon.com/PopXCast. When you go there, you'll see a really cool video by yours truly shot in the one only comic man cave. And you get to see the man cave in all of its glory, and you'll actually get some pretty cool information about why we set it up. So check it out, and if you're feeling like you want to help us out on a monthly basis, that'd be awesome. We're going to be throwing some exclusive content your way, and you guys are going to be able to hang out with us before and after the shows, which is kind of cool. So you'll be getting an exclusive link that you can come and join us. Some really cool perks along the way, and definitely check it out, okay?
Yep, Joe did a great job on that site. It looks beautiful, and I'm excited about getting to hang out with some people and getting to meet some of the people that really enjoy the show and get to hear their feedback. I'm excited.
It's a big step for PopX to actually have our own official Patreon account. Not only that, we want to take this time right now and thank our 100 subscribers. We hit 100 on YouTube this
week. That was such a big milestone.
And if you guys have not familiar why this is a milestone for us, YouTube recently, Google, changed up their actual, user agreement, where you can't change your short URL until you have 100 subscribers on your channel. And it's kind of actually been more of a, I don't want to say deterrent, but it's been harder to achieve the goal to actually get youtube.com/PopXCast, which now, thanks to you 100 plus subscribers, we officially have that. So we, from PopXCast, salute you and thank you so much for that. That is truly boom sauce. You guys are awesome.
Yes.
All right. So we salute you. And Lindsay Badger, tell us about the last but not least news headline.
I've kind of started a new PopX project and put together a Tumblr account for us. And I know that you guys have been really enjoying my Nerd Nuggets every week. So I went ahead and took those Nerd Nuggets. I went back and looked, pulled all the information out of the past episodes and put them into graphic form. So now you can go to our Tumblr page and you'll be able to see different images and links that we share on other social media sites, but as well as my Nerd Nugget graphics that I just designed this week.
Awesome.
And so, you know, the Nerd Nugget knowledge bombs that you can share out with your friends. You can like them. You can.
Now, I got to say, Lindsay has really put a lot of work in these graphics.
I'm excited about them.
They're really cool looking, and you can share them. You can tweet them. You can Instagram them, and they're really cool. So all the Nerd Nuggets that you've heard on our shows, we actually do have shareable graphics for it, and they are really cool. And they're themed up.
So that's popxcast.tumblr.com is where you go to find all of those awesome things. And I think we might just keep those graphics exclusive on Tumblr.
I think we may just keep that.
And that, I think
that'll,
we will.
That'll drive some content over there as well. And, you know, speaking of social media, there are some updates, too, to the front page of PopXCast this week. As you will log on, you will see now that there are some social media icons over on your right-hand side. And you guys can connect with us over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, Spreadshirt, wherever we are. We have links to it. And you guys can easily, with one click, access all of it. Okay? But that wraps up the news for this week, Lindsay Badger, and we are going to have ourselves a Nerd Nugget right now.
Oh my God, it's a Nerd Nugget.
All right. Well, since we were talking about Nerd Nuggets, we're just going to throw a couple out there. I have two more this week for you.
Sweet.
It's going to be exciting. All right. So, Nerd Nugget number one, Michael Jackson wrote over 40 musical tracks for Sega's Sonic the Hedgehog 3 in complete secrecy.
Really?
40. Not one,
oh
not two.
Oh my God,
40.
It's a Nerd Nugget.
So how does that happen? I mean, Michael Jackson.
I don't know,
Jackson,
but I'm actually really curious to hear what they sound like. You know?
Now, Adam, did you know about this?
I didn't know that.
You're a video game developer. That's crazy. I didn't know Michael Jackson. It was off the radar, and he just did it.
Because, I mean, right now, I can think, I mean, everybody that has any kind of a video game childhood can right now think about the theme song for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. So I'm just kind of like, what in the world could be different?
That's crazy.
You know, I really, really would like, if somebody knows out there in the land, just send me a link
or something. Yeah, call us or tweet us or whatever. That's interesting.
All right. Nugget number two. Our beloved Sony originally collaborated with Nintendo. Did you know this?
No.
And they worked together on a project to make a CD-based Super NES console that they called the Nintendo PlayStation. But Nintendo split ways with Sony shortly before completing the project, causing Sony to develop the PlayStation.
The Sony PlayStation.
So they were an independent competitor. So now I'm sure Nintendo is kicking themselves in the backside right now.
Pretty much.
For not going through with that project.
Being that Sony is now one of the heavy hitters in the home gaming console market alongside Xbox. And now Nintendo is just kind of like literally crawling.
And we're a huge PlayStation house here. Yeah. You know, I mean, usually you're team Xbox, team PlayStation, team Nintendo, whatever.
That's crazy.
We're huge in the PlayStation team.
Well, that's actually really cool because you're leading right into our interview with video games, which is kind of cool. We got Adam here from Homeworld Arts.
Hi, Adam.
Dude.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. I mean, thank you for hanging out with us. I know usually we don't have our guest on, but you know what? You're an exception. You're fine. You're friends. We talk to you all the time. And you're friends of PopX. So thank you so much for joining us, especially on tonight, where tonight is Game of Thrones finale night. I want to get that
it's
out there.
It's a big night.
I know. Jordan wish you could.
Me.
I know. It doesn't affect me either because I don't watch Game of Thrones. But, you know, to all those who are watching tonight, despite the Game of Thrones finale going on as we speak.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate it. DVR for the win. But greetings, Adam. So basically, you know, growing up, Adam, just kind of getting straight into the interview here. What kind of video games did you play the most?
NES.
NES. So you're an old, age school, 8-bit gamer.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep. It was one of those things where I went to a daycare that had a Nintendo.
Okay.
And
wait, your daycare had a Nintendo?
Well, yeah.
That's a cool daycare, dude.
There were only like three or four of us that went there.
Okay. Okay.
And my friend got a Nintendo.
All right.
We were playing that, and I guess I just didn't stop talking about it.
Really?
And when the price dropped before Christmas, it had been out for a while.
Wow.
And the price dropped before Christmas, so my parents picked it up for me, and it was the best Christmas ever.
Wow.
And it never occurred to them that there would be a Super Nintendo or a Nintendo 64 or any of that.
Beyond.
So I got the Nintendo, and that was it. So okay. I continued to play Nintendo throughout the rest of my childhood.
Wow.
I didn't really move up.
Wow, that's crazy. And so in playing the old 8-bit video game genres, all right, so let me throw out a random question that's not even, off kilter here. What is your top five vintage favorite cartridge NES games? If you could round them up into top five, what would it be? From your perspective.
Legend of Zelda, the original, is number one.
Yeah, that's that.
And I might kick myself for this later, but I have to say that The Adventure of Link is number two.
The Adventure of Link, okay.
And that's controversial for a lot of people, being that it's so different.
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
Nothing like what they expected, nothing like the original. But in its own right, it was amazing. And it was a challenge throughout my life that I've constantly gone back and revisited.
Really?
And I still have not made it through the road to Death Mountain.
Really?
But I will not cheat. And I just can't get there. So that's on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
What else do we have? Mario 3.
Mario 3.
That's a good one.
That's got to be on there.
Yeah. That's a given.
There was one. I'll say something that most people don't say, and that's Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Really?
That may have been the first RPG that I ever played.
Really?
And it played more like a PC RPG.
Okay.
Where you had your inventory, a grid inventory, and then you would have you'd see your character and you put the armor on them and something in the left hand, something in the right hand, a ring, and then a bracelet, a necklace. So that was kind of eye opening when I started getting really into PC games a little bit later in life.
Okay.
Oh, I know how to do this. I've been doing this since I was a kid.
Yeah. And then number five. Or is that number four? That's number four.
That one was number four, so we got one more.
Okay. Now, see, I would have you pegged for a Mega Man guy, but I don't know. I'm just...
Mega Man, I didn't own.
Okay.
And I can remember my friend when the PlayStation came out.
Right.
He's like, I'm selling all my Nintendo games. Come over and buy a bunch. So yeah. I borrowed a bunch. And I got as far as I could in all of his Mega Man games. I don't want to buy these. They're a headache.
Yeah,
they're just too hard.
They were crazy at the time. That's true.
So I'll put... Even though I didn't own it as a kid, I'll put Metroid on there.
Metroid.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's a good choice.
Good pull, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Now
those are some good games.
Played Metroid for SNES, right?
Yeah, Super Metroid. Oh, yeah. Far superior. It's still amazing to this day.
One of my favorite freaking games ever. Yeah. So, all right. So, for example, your favorite genres, what would that be? Would that be more role-playing for you?
It was for a while.
Okay.
I got really bored with turn-based RPGs.
Oh, yeah.
Too much Pokemon, too much Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
In high school, I had to completely get away from it. The most fun for me is always just a classic side-scroller.
Okay.
But if you can start to throw in those RPG elements, into it. And that's where I think the Adventure of Link was so far ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had the elements that made up a Zelda game in a side-scrolling game.
Yes.
I got you. Awesome. And so I see that, you know, there is kind of a generalized love for 8-bit genres, you know, just judging from the work that you put out so far and as a developer yourself. I take that you have a passion for those kind of old school games and ROMs, and it really does kind of translate into some of the games that you're putting out now. I actually had the was that the other night, Lindsay, I was playing, and I actually went through what was
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I want to say it was like Tuesday or Wednesday that you went
staff.
Through.
I went through Staff and beat it.
Pixel Staff.
Pixel Staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun, man. That was a good game. I enjoyed
it. Lost. It
was great.
Lost.
I loved it. And I love the fact that, you know, that you have to get this power up to get to this level and you have to do this and get to that.
I loved the dragon towards the end.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was really cool, man. That was a really good game. But really well designed too. But we'll be talking about some of those here a little bit more. So Lindsay, what do you got for?
Let's talk about your name, Homeworld Arts. What's the origin of the name? How does it represent the games you make? Just kind of tell us where that started from.
It comes from a made up word, Denalimo, and Denalimo was homeland spelled backwards because in middle school, our screen names were our names backwards. Our email accounts were our names backwards, and our guild was Denalimo, homeland backwards. And that was for Diablo 1 and then eventually StarCraft when that came out.
Okay.
So first things we started doing was making StarCraft maps and then playing them online on 56K together.
56K. Oh, my God.
It worked surprisingly well.
I know, yeah.
We were playing Diablo and StarCraft on that. And then we got into Grail, which was a Link to the Past graphics. It was an open online multiplayer game. It still exists, and there's a bunch of different forms of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But back in the day, they released the level editor.
And that's the one where you could create your own levels and actually your buddies could log in and play with you as well.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what we were doing. And we had RPG Maker. We didn't get very far with that because we just wanted to make the coolest story. That took forever. Gotcha. But as we decided to really get serious and make mobile apps and take on a global market, we changed it from homeland to homeworld.
Homeworld. Okay. So you're not just in a land, you're all over the world.
Yep, home everywhere.
Homeworld. It's a global domination of indie pixel art. Download it now.
Oh, yeah. Nice. There's your promo reel, boys.
Yes. I won't charge you enough for that, Adam. I'm sorry. So if you could explain, you know, basically for first-time players, what style of games it is that you create, how would you define your work?
It's casual,
okay,
with hopefully something there that the real gamer can appreciate.
Right.
Definitely all 2D. We haven't done anything 3D.
Okay.
But as we progress, and you can see the progression from Pixel Sword to Pixel Staff. Mm-hmm. Pixel Staff is a much harder game for someone to understand than Pixel Sword.
Oh, yeah.
And then from Pixel Staff to Pixel Arrow, it gets even more in-depth.
So there's a Pixel Arrow as well.
There is a Pixel Arrow as well.
I need
to
play that one.
And that, we were able to implement bomb arrows and then put in bricks that you have to find and then explode to get behind them.
Wow.
There are switches, so there's little puzzles. So as we progress, these games are going to get more and more complicated and that's eventually good. Be the kind of game that we actually want to play.
I like that there's different levels of difficulty because,
yeah.
I mean, my five-year-old can play. She loves playing Light Bike. I have it on her tablet. She plays it all the time. And then, you know, Joe was entertained by, you know, playing, was it Staff?
Pixel Staff.
We were playing that. So, I mean, yeah, wide range of ages can play all the games, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, just on a side note, Lindsay, I think it's really cool, too, that he has these games available on his website. Not only can you get them over on iOS and Google Play, but you can actually play them from his website for free.
You can, yeah.
And that's actually really mind-blowing. I was like, oh, man, I can play any one of these I want in real time and just, you know, kind of get lost. And I got to say, dude, I was going through some of your levels and some of your development of your stages and the different realms of your worlds that you created. And your artwork is really good. I was looking at like some of your dragon, like there's this one image on the map of Pixel Staff when you go all the way to the right, and there's like this big green dragon statue just kind of hanging out there. Really gorgeous work, man. I was like, man, he really put a lot of work into that, and it's really well thought out and really well done and executed, and I just have to commend you for that. It was really beautiful.
Thanks.
You're welcome, man. All right, Lindsay, what you got?
What inspired you to begin creating video games?
Well, James and I met in seventh grade, and somebody got in trouble in Spanish class, so he got moved to sit next to me.
Okay.
And he wasn't very happy about it at first. And I think either he was drawing something or I was drawing something, and it was like designing like a SimCity.
Really?
And he mentioned, oh, I have SimCity 2000. Yeah, I have that. I was like, oh, I haven't played that yet. I've only played the one for Super Nintendo at my buddy's house. And,
wow.
And, well, you can borrow it and install it on your computer. So I brought it home. I installed it, played it a bunch, and, you know, gave it right back to him. And we pretty much have been friends talking about video games ever since.
Yeah.
Game Boy Colors at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we could trade Pokemon and bought the really expensive cable, and we're like doing it underneath the desk, playing, trading our Pokemon under the desk.
I remember that, man. You know what? I remember, this is really going to throw it back, and Adam, you really appreciate this. I remember a buddy of mine, his name was James, and he had the old vintage Game Boy, and so did I. And you know the connector cable where you can play together?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? So we could do that under our desks, and I would be playing, like, I guess it was like Tetris and Mario, some of the, you
know,
what was
Tetris.
It, Dr. Mario. You could play some of those co-op.
Mario.
And it was really cool, and I remember playing those. I think it was like 6th or 7th grade, and here's me and James, you know, and there, God bless his heart, Mr. Vance up there trying to give us fractions and whatever it was on the chalkboard at the time, and me and James just going at it, 8-bit glory, baby.
How is your passion for creating these pixel genre games motivated you to like push your skills and abilities to new frontiers?
I didn't want to work for anyone else.
Nice answer.
Good answer. Yeah. Darn straight, boy.
Yeah. If we had to work for anybody, we would work for each other and push each other.
And that's the way it needs to be.
That's a challenge in its own right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times you can be really hard on yourself, and anytime it comes to creating anything, you can get really down on yourself, and then you release a game like, yeah, on top of the world, and then and it slowly fades. Oh, this next project's not working, or you have to scrap a project because it's not moving along fast enough. Every time you have to reach the next plateau, it's a struggle.
And that's really cool, though, because you have creative freedom to design a game, design a platform that you ultimately have to be responsible for, and you don't have deadlines and quotas, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome because there's so many, I think the indie pixel game designers and just indie game designers themselves, that's one of the things that they're drawn to. We got the big corporations, you know, like Electronic Arts and Konami and Capcom, you know, the heavy hitters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you work for those kind of companies, you have, quote, it's not fun.
Yeah.
There's not a fun factor there. I've actually had a couple guys I used to know back in the day that did create some video games for other companies, and they literally hated their job.
It's like design factory. Exactly.
They come in and they do their 8 hours, and that's all they do is they sit in front of a screen and they have to do X amount of data, X amount of work, coding, whatever it was, for that day, and there's no fun factor in there. There's nothing that they know creative freedom because they're given a task to do. They have to complete this task. So I'm going off topic, and I know that, but I'm just commending you on setting that platform for yourself. Yeah. That's really awesome, dude. So for someone wanting to kind of break into the field of video games and platform design, what advice or tips could you give some possible new hopefuls and prospects into the video game industry?
You got to start small. If you go all the way back and you look at our early projects, and that's not even the beginning. But you go back and look at the first things we released on Android. They're pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And we know that, but we had to get something out.
Right.
And a lot of people want to make their dream game right away. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So come up with something. What can you do with the skills you have now? And maybe add one or two extra things that you don't know how to do so that you can learn. And each project along the way, we've learned something. If we can't learn anything from making a game, we're not going to do it. And what happens when a project starts to drag on, either you're creating story content or you're just creating levels that you're starting to run out of ideas. You've gotten to the point where you're not learning anything. The challenge is kind of gone. The only other thing I can really suggest that some people probably haven't heard is watch Extra Credits on YouTube. I mean, those guys, I've never really disagreed with anything they've said.
And that's Extra Credit. Is that a channel? That's a channel on YouTube?
It's a YouTube channel. It started on Penny Arcade.
Okay.
It's inspiring, and they touch on so many great, great game development mechanic issues. They talk about AAA like you were. It's just it's a good place to get your gears turning.
That's really awesome. Well, some pretty cool information there, man, and thanks for sharing. And I love the fact that you talk about challenging yourself, because if you're stuck in a redundant mode creating content and you're not learning something new each time you do your craft and your trade, why are you doing it? You know, you're supposed to be pushing yourself and challenging
yourself out of the comfort zone.
Exactly.
So that you can, I that's commendable, because a lot of people like to stay in their lane and do the same thing over and over again. And it does get boring after a while, so you do have to take a step out and try a new skill and then hone that skill in, and then, you know, keep growing.
Yeah.
You know. But well, with all the games that you've made so far, what goals have you set for yourself for future game development, like overall plans for Homeworld Arts?
Well, right now we're jumping ship on the Starling framework, which is it's essentially Flash. It's ActionScript.
Okay.
Pixel Arrow is the last game that we will ever make in that, and we are jumping over to Unity. In a sense, it kind of feels like we're starting over. We have developed skills in the graphics and the game design and mechanics and learning how to work. But there's a lot of things that we need to flesh out with our workflow. And once that's done, hopefully we can get back up to the point where we can make a Pixel Arrow type game.
Okay.
There will be something like Pixel Sword, this very linear game that will be coming out. It will be sci-fi themed.
Oh, wow. I'll
tell you that.
That's
cool. And then after that, we will venture into the Metroidvania once again.
Oh, man.
And then
surpass
where we were.
Have you now? I know that your genres and your games are kind of mystical and stuff like that. Have you ever thought about cross pollinating into more of the horror genre, like a Castlevania game or something like that?
Oh, that would be an interesting twist.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I don't think either of us are really horror fans.
Okay, that's respectable.
I did dig a lot of the Resident Evil stuff, but I think that was more because of the quality of the game mechanics, than it was the fact that it was horror.
Vampire.
Yeah.
I got you.
But maybe. space aliens. I'm always scared of aliens.
Hey, there you go. A little bit of sci-fi thrown in there with the fantasy.
Little green man. Got to find the spaceship. Find the mothership.
Yeah, aliens are scary.
Aliens are freaking
sci-fi
crazy.
Horror. That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, you think about the movie Aliens. That's just like, ugh. Anyway, I'm not off on topic. So we've been talking, you and I, on Blab for quite some time. And it's really interesting, Adam, because up until recently, I had no idea what you did. And I know it's been on your bio. All I had to do was scroll over your little bubble on Blab and read that you were an indie game developer. And for me, I was just like, it was just a couple of months ago. I think you and I were having this conversation. It was back in, I think it was like back in April or something like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, you make video games. And you were like, yeah. And it was really awesome because I have such an appreciation for someone that follows their passion, follows their heart, and doesn't basically necessarily adhere to what others are saying as much as to what their heart says. Does that make sense?
Kind of going along to the beat of your own drum, following heart. Yeah,
exactly. And I got to really commend you for that. And so when we're talking about some of these games and some of the things that you've made, just overall, how can people connect with you? How can they find what you've made? How can they download your games? And how can they get in contact with you if they want to have any questions about any of this?
The best way to get in direct contact would be at Homeworld Arts on Twitter.
Okay.
To play some games, go to homeworldarts.com.
All right.
For the best quality of gameplay, I would say grab, if you have an Android or an iPhone, the links are right there at the top that will take you directly to the gallery, basically our portfolio in each marketplace.
Okay.
So then from there you can grab whatever game you want that's available for your device. You can play them on the website, but the quality of play, it's not the same as what it could be on the device. If you have a tablet, you're gonna love it.
So so when you design these, are they designed for a tablet mobile platform as not so much as a desktop platform? Is that
for right now? Yes.
Okay.
In the future, we would love to get more into console game development.
And
we experimented that with the Ouya platform, which was a couch gaming system that was Android based, and the Retro Robits game that was up there with the teal tiles.
Okay,
it was a 4-player couch gaming that kind of almost played like a 2D Mario Kart. It's a very hard game to describe. But at some point that project will be revisited because we stumbled onto gold there. Unfortunately, nobody played it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. That's unfortunate. But what it sounds like to me though, there's a lot of balls in motion and there's a lot of things that you have planned. Like you said, you were going from the Flash based programming to Unity and kind of again, like we said earlier, stepping out of one bubble and into another and kind of expanding yourself and challenging yourself in other ways. And so having said that, what is some of the games that you have that you want to talk about? I don't want to drop any projects that you don't want to talk about. So is there anything that's coming out in the next few months or the next year or something that we can expect from you that's you're really excited about?
There's a sci-fi game coming out in the next year.
Okay.
I don't have a name for you.
Okay.
As soon as there's a name, I will let the world know.
That's awesome.
I would say follow Homeworld Arts on Twitter and we'll be the first to tell you.
That's awesome. And so if people want to connect with you like on a streaming platform, do you normally just hang out on blab.im or is there like another network that you usually just chillax with?
That's about it. As far as streaming, we were doing game dev stuff last year. Well, about a year and a half now, we were streaming on Twitch.
Yeah, that was what I was getting ready to ask you.
If we do a game jam, we'll announce it on Twitter, and we'll probably broadcast the whole thing live, and it'll probably be like a 48-hour style broadcast where we just kind of leave it up and you can watch us work.
Well,
and
make sure that when you do
that's really cool.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When you do that, when you do a Twitter, you can actually tag up to 10 people. Make sure you tag PopX Cast and Lindsay and all of us. And we'll retweet it, and we'll actually join you and kind of
promote. Push that out.
It's like, watch these guys, you know, in their element. So we'll help you with that, and hopefully, you know, drive some traffic your way. And, you know, yeah, man, just let us know and tag us. But so, Adam, we want to thank you so much for joining us on episode 21. Indie game, indie pixel art. I love it. I freaking love it to death. And it's when you go back to the retro 8-bit games, there it brings out a energy in me that is from my childhood. Mm-hmm. And I have so many memories of me sitting in front of my little 13-channel tube-style television, playing Castlevania, Karnov, Metroid, and then, of course, Zelda, and then Super Mario 1, 2, and 3, all those games. It's really cool that you're taking something that you know, something that you love and admire, and you're creating something so awesome and so phenomenal. And we really appreciate that. And be sure to check him out, guys. He is Twitter at Homeward Arts, homewardarts.com. This is Adam. And Adam, we're going to say goodbye to you as we're going to wrap up the show. But you have been awesome, dude. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thanks again for having me.
Man. All right. We'll see you next time, man.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So that is Adam with Homeward Arts. And really cool to have him on the show and just talking about. It's really interesting to hear his perspective on.
It's great to hear that side of him, because usually whenever we hang out with him, it's totally not.
Yeah, he was totally in a different mode tonight. He was totally in a different realm.
He was in the zone, and it was great to dive deep and pick his brain and ask him some questions about, you know, his thoughts and his ideas and what he's got coming up. So that's really exciting.
And I think, you know, honestly, there's a takeaway from all of this is that when you're passionate about something, do it yourself and learn your trade yourself. And that way you're the only one that can produce this content. You're the one that's the sole proprietor, the sole man or woman behind what it is that you're creating. And in the end, I think that'll be so beneficial for you in the long run, because you have acquired how to do it. You know how to do it. You know your little shortcuts, you know, your little, you know, trades. And it's the same thing with us in podcasting. We've done it for a long time. I've been podcasting since 2006. And so we kind of know our little, there's a system to doing it. And with video gaming, I'm sure it's the same way. Or painting, artwork,
pretty much anything. You know, you got to find your niche, your groove, that, you know, your process. But, you know, my takeaway from it was just the constant push to break through that barrier, to take it a next step, to get outside of that comfort zone, and to continue to grow and to continue to learn, because you can never, you can never stop learning.
Which
I think is a really great lesson.
And it's always challenging yourself too, to really push above and beyond. And I think that's really what we need to be doing, not just as podcasters, but game developers, artists, whatever. But so we're getting ready to wrap up the show, and we want to we got some things here in closing we're going to do. We want to remind everybody that if you're going this weekend to see Finding Dory, or you're going to see Independence Day, or any of the other cool movies that's out this weekend at the box office, I actually was reading, and I got to say this right quick before we get on the air. I was reading a note on superherohype.com that Independence Day this weekend came in at number 2. I was actually really sad about that, because I know it's a blockbuster movie. I know it's awesome. Do you know what the number one movie is?
Got beat out by a fish.
Got beat out by Dory.
By a fish.
But you got to look, though. That's Walt Disney. That's Pixar. I mean,
I love Finding Nemo. I have not yet taken my kids to go see Dory yet. I know I'm a bad mom. I wasn't there on opening.
I know Mike over there. He's already seen like Finding Dory. And he hi Mike.
I'm actually excited to see Dory. I'm excited to see the Independence Day as well. But do you think maybe a little bit lacking because there's no Will Smith in it this time?
I don't think that's it. I just think that it's one of those storylines. It's just like either hit or miss. When it came out at the time, having this massive spaceship over DC in the White House really just kind of freaked people out, because this was at an era before 9/11. this was, you know, kind of freakish at the, you know, and everybody's like, oh my God, you know, this is the alien movie for all generations. And now it's just kind of like, we're so used to these movies like Pacific Rim, you know, the giant robotic spaceship type movies, Godzilla, which just came out, which had Bryan Cranston in it. Mm-hmm. We're so used to these Titan style movies. That mm-hmm. It's just kind of like, oh.
You think maybe they waited too long to come out with a sequel?
Maybe.
You know, there's a little bit too much gap there get that to be relatable.
And I think, honestly, that maybe the wait is one of the reasons why Will Smith's not in it, because he's such a well-seasoned actor now. And you know, when Will Smith started that role, that was one of his breakout roles, was Independence Day.
It was. It put him on the map.
It did. I mean, before that, what would we have? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in West Philadelphia, born and raised. You know.
But, yep, so we can do the whole song, but we're not going
I digress. So, but if you're going to see something really cool this weekend, or you're diving into a book, you're diving into a comic book, you're seeing something that really touches you, or you want to talk to us about it, be sure to call us over on our PopX hotline. That is 850-417-POPX. Oh my God, look at that. That's the Zach Morris. That's the Zach Morris telephone.
It is the Zach Morris phone.
Oh my God. That is so funny.
Mr. Belding, I'm not going to be coming to school today.
Screech Powers. Oh my God. Kelly Kapowski. Anyway.
Don't forget to get in touch with us on our social media stuff too, because we are pretty much everywhere. We're Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, everything's at PopX. And don't forget to go over and check out our brand new Tumblr page, popx.tumblr.com.
Yes, and also we have a brand new Patreon account too, guys. If you are enjoying these 21 episodes that you've heard so far of PopX, and you enjoy the content, the education, the resources, the celebrity interviews that we've had. We've had some pretty heavy hitters.
We've had some really, really great interviews.
We've had Walking Dead actors. We've had the founder of Blue Man Group. We've had Retro Blasting on from Atlanta. We've had some really cool things on here. If you enjoy that and you want to support it, head over to patreon.com/popxcast. And also, you can email us. It's popxcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from all of our faithful listeners. We love feedback. So please drop us a note. Drop us a line. And for all things PopX, be sure to check out the official website, popxcast.com. And I think that is pretty much it. So, Badges, thank you so much for hanging out with me this weekend, being the co-host for the most. I do appreciate it. And stepping up
to the plate. I'm not nearly as handsome as Austin, but I guess I can fill his shoes while
he's
hanging out in a high school.
You know what I've, you know what I've heard from Mike and my wife is that, like, Austin is it's almost like he sounds like me and he looks like me. That's what I get the most from both of them, is that he kind of like is like a mini me of me, but he's like a younger me, but he's like, I don't know.
I see it. I do see it.
Yeah. Well, you can't deny the genetic gene pool. That's for sure.
No, you're definitely Austin, a Merc.
Austin, I know that you're probably pulling your hair out right now, and hopefully you haven't gotten arrested.
I think he's doing some spray paint art on the side of a building or something right
God,
now.
I hope he's not. In Pikeville, they will send him up the river without a paddle. It's not going to be good for him.
I tease.
So Lindsay Badger, they can get you an LR Badger over on
LR Badger. LR Badger everywhere. Yeah. Pretty much if there's a social media site, I'm on it at LR Badger.
And that's awesome. And I am Joe Burke at ROTCAV on the interwebs. And of course, I want to thank you, Lindsay Badger, for holding the chats, doing the blabs, doing the chat rooms, being a co-host, and all that wonderful, amazing jazz that you do.
My mini hats.
Yes, the mini hats of Badges and the Tumblr. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
That just keeps going on and on. And also, Mr. Mike Ippolito over here to the left of me. Oh, my God, seriously. Oh. Freaking love Jim Carrey.
That is one of the best childhood movies, I swear.
Oh, my God, that is so
good.
Mask. Where does he get all these gifts? I mean, seriously, he's like, thank you. Thank you.
The Google is strong with this guy.
All right, so stay tuned. Episode 22 will be coming to you next week from all of us here at PopX. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. And we will see you next time right here on PopX Cast.
From everyone here at PopX Cast, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And don't forget to subscribe for more great content. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Lab, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.